Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your loving kindness towards us. Thank you for providing for us each day, for taking care of us in so many ways, and for protecting us from all sorts of things, some of which we're not even aware of. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11 to 13, TPT. But now I'm writing to you, so that you would exclude from your fellowship anyone who calls himself a fellow believer and practices sexual immorality, or is consumed with greed, or is an idolater, or is verbally abusive, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Don't mingle with them, or even have a meal with someone like that. What right do I have to pronounce judgment on unbelievers? That's God's responsibility. But those who are inside the church family are our responsibility to discern and judge. So it's your duty to remove that wicked one from among you. Earlier in the chapter, in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 5, it says, then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved on the day the Lord returns. So this is an effort not to be mean to the guy who is a believer who is in a sinful way of life, but to save his soul from eternal damnation. Now, some say God is all about mercy, and that is, it says that in Luke 6:37, NET. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Again in Matthew 5, verse 7, NLT. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So what is this here, judgment or mercy? Well, it's actually both. In Proverbs 3, verse 11 to 12, it says, my child, do not reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. This is also reflected in 1 Corinthians 11:32. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. I recently watched a movie called In the Name of God, directed by Kevin Otter. And in there, a young man called Jason was bouncing from foster home to foster home. He had a major attitude on him, and he was just disrespectful to everybody and fighting with everybody and dissing the teachers and not even being nice to the latest foster family that took him in. And there in showing love, the new foster father actually called the police on him when he sprayed spray paint on the shop wall. But that same father stood by him through the process, and as it turned out, the woman at the shop did drop the charges, but he then worked for the woman, painted her shop, and did a very good job at that. But the fact of the matter is that that father, that new foster father, realized that if he had made an excuse for the child, by the child I mean the young man, that is like a teenage boy, when the cops came to say, oh, you sprayed graffiti on the shop wall, he said, oh, but I was at home all night, right? And he looked at his new foster father as if he'd say, yeah, well, you're going to say that to keep me out of trouble. And he said, no, I called the cops. Or someone said, no, your foster father called the cops on you for spray painting the wall, defacing the wall. But the father stood by him. He took him to the meetings that he had to attend, which is what the court decided he had to do to stay out of juvenile detention. And yes, and then when the shop owner dropped the charges to give him a chance, and also it helped her by getting her shop painted and cleaned up nicely. So in the end, this young man realized that it was the love of this family that was making a difference in his life, and he actually turned to Christ and became a rather nice human being. So what is the moral of the story, of that story? Well, basically, tough love, when it is necessary, you have to do it. In that case of that young man, it was necessary. Otherwise, he would have just carried on in that destructive path that he had chosen, bucking the system and dissing everybody and just being obnoxious as he possibly could be to whether it's teachers or fellow students. It was just, he was just an impolite young man at the beginning of the movie. But by the end of the movie, he had come to his senses. He had discovered the real love of God in that family, and he became a decent human being, and he even reached out to a young teenage girl who was also in the depths of despair, who went to that same group. And that girl's father thanked him for talking to her and helping her through that. So what am I saying? Is it mercy or is it judgment? And the answer again is, it's both. Now that was a story of the discipline of somebody else. But what about disciplining of yourself? Jesus had this to say in Luke 9 verse 23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So Jesus expects his followers to deny themselves, take up their crosses daily, and follow him. It's not about what you want, it's about what God wants. Jesus himself said on the way to the cross, Father, not my will, but your will be done. This is also reflected in Galatians 2 verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the ultimate sacrifice where the Son of God gave his life for our freedom, that kind of demands a sacrifice in return of us giving our lives to keep that freedom, because that freedom is not free to do as you please. That freedom is free to live in heaven forever and to experience the abundant life while living on this planet Earth. What is that abundant life? Well, it's certainly not riches. It is that joy, that peace, that beauty that we experience on a daily basis as we walk with our Redeemer, our Savior, the lover of our souls. This is summed up in Philippians 1:20-22. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ, so I really don't know which is better. So, when a believer dies physical death on this planet, there is hope, and a lot of funeral services and memorial services that I've been to have expressed that hope. Yes, there is sadness and missing the person, but there is that hope that you will see them again because they have gone to be where Jesus is. They have seen the face of our Redeemer. And living forever in heaven is not just sitting on a cloud playing harp. It's going to be exciting, the most thrilling thing you've ever done in your whole life. It's 10 times, 100 times better than that. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, according to what our little imaginations can picture. When we get to heaven, the other side of the grave, I mean, heaven is already in our hearts, but when we get to the other side of eternity, when we are in our new bodies, when Jesus comes back, and we've seen our loving Heavenly Father face to face, that's when we will have the most thrilling experience imaginable. We receive encouragement from 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So our sojourn, our travels on this planet, in this bodily form, prior to the grave or prior to Jesus' return, that is like the tip of the iceberg. That's like 1 inch on a rope that is 100 miles long. The rest of eternity we will spend in the most beautiful place that we can't even imagine, doing the most thrilling things that we can't even imagine, and seeing the face of our Redeemer, our Heavenly Father, our Holy Spirit, the lover of our souls. With all that to look forward to, the hassles that we experience in this world, kind of like dim in comparison. Jesus gave us this encouragement in John 16:33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So even when the going gets tough, remember that scripture and shine the lights.